afternoon. Welcome to Lesbian Nation.
This is Martha Shelley, as usual. I'm out here in Staten Island with Audre Lorde, and she's going to read some poetry for you, and the stars are out, and we're going to have a good time, and I've already started because I've had some sherry. What do you want to read first, Audre?
Well, you know, Martha, you asked me whether I had poems about being a lesbian, whether I had poems to women. Well, I have poems that come out of myself, right, out of all of the many people that I am, and of course some of them are to women. I don't really have poems about anything. I have poems out of, rather. And the first poem that I'd like to read is, well, of course, is to a woman, an old lover of mine. The title of it is Times Change and We Change With Them, or We Seem to Have Lost Touch with Each Other. There are so many girls now in the street who look like Noel, who lived behind a green door in a garden in the very heart of the village, with water bugs in her half-kitchen and a persistent sense of death. But now they all seem much younger. They have more time to play, to dye their hair blonde or try yoga, and winnow the chaff from their bodies, spear in the fashion of today, which was not so in the days of Noel. And perhaps with a luck that was never Noel's, these girls may learn to distinguish their growing grain from a cancer. Noel was skinny and strong and host to a number of ailments. After her 10th accident, she began to develop an ulcer, saw an analyst who died, and then went into advertising. Noel moved out of her green house into Midtown and had gained weight the last time I saw her. Perhaps now she's also dead. All the young girls who wear her faces are much cooler these days. One can tell right away that they are impregnable, and most of them know that a sense of death at times is a sign of internal bleeding. The next poem that I want to read is called Martha, because it is to someone who is not Martha Shelley, someone who I love very dearly. And I can't say loved, because there are so many Marthas, and I love her now. She was in an accident, a very bad accident, that left her a very different person, that left her in a coma for 3 months. And the poem, and it's not short, that I'm going to read now is about that trial and about that metamorphosis for both of us, and also in a larger sense about the whole course of our relationship. The title of it is Martha. Part one. Martha, this is a catalog of days passing before you looked again. Someday you will browse and order them at will or in your necessities. I have taken a house at the Jersey Shore this summer, but it is not my house. Today, the lightning bugs came. On the first day, you were dead. The skin of your face moved with each breath, falling in like crumpled muslin. We scraped together the smashed images of flesh, preparing a memory. No words, no words. On the eighth day, you startled the doctors, speaking from your death place to reassure us that you were still trying. Martha, these are replacement days, if you should ever need them, given for those you once demanded and never found. May this trip be rewarding. No one can fault you again, Martha, for answering necessities too well. And the gods who honor hard work will keep this second coming free from that lack of choice that hindered your first journey to this tarot house. They said, no hope, no dreaming. Accept this case of flesh as evidence of life without fire, and wrapped you in an electric blanket kept 10 degrees below life, your fetal hands curled inward on the icy sheets. Your bed was so cold the bruises could not appear. On the second day, I knew you were alive because the gray flesh of your face suffered. I love you and cannot feel you any less than Martha. I love you and cannot split this shaven head away from Martha's pushy straightness as you ask in that smash of mixed symbols, how long must I wander here in this final house of my father? On the solstice, I was in Providence. We used to visit friends here often. It rained in Providence on the solstice. I remember we passed through here twice in the rain on Route 6, going through Providence to the Cape, where we spent our second summer trying for peace or equity even. It was always raining by the time we got to Providence. The Kirschenbaums live here in Providence, and Blossom and Barry and Francis and Francis. Oh, Martha, Martha, I am in love again. Listen, Francis, I said on the solstice. Today we are witches with enough energy to move mountains back. Think of Martha. I saw you today in our city of hideous summer. Your hair is grown and your armpits have been scented by a careful attendant. I walk into your testing, 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 your explosive syllables warning me. The mountain has fallen into dung. No, Martha. Remember, remember, Martha, warning me. Dead flowers will not come to your bed again. The sun has started south. Our season is over. Today, you opened your eyes, giving a blue-filmed history to your mangled words. I see through them how you are teaching yourself to learn again. I need you, need me, je suis Martha. I do not speak French kissing. Oh, wow, black and beautiful. Black and becoming somebody else, maybe Erica, maybe, who sat in the fourth row behind us in high school, and I never had French with you, Martha. And who is this Madame Erudite who is not me? I find you today in a womb full of patients, blue-robed in various convalescence. Your eyes are closed. You are propped into a wheelchair, cornered in a parody of resting. The bright glue of tragedy plasters all eyes to a television set in the opposite corner where a man is dying step by step in the American ritual going. For this first public appearance, someone has covered you in a hospital gown, the badge of your next step. Tense, evocative voices flow out from the set, and the horror is thickening in this room full of broken and mending receptions. Has no one told you what it's all about, Martha? Someone has shot Robert Kennedy this morning. We are drifting closer to what you once predicted. Your darkness is indeed speaking. But Robert Kennedy is dying, Martha, not you. Not you, not you, not you. He has a bullet in his brain, Martha. Surgery was never possible for you. There was no place to start, and no one intended to run you down on a highway, being driven home at 7:30 on a low summer's evening. I had a reading in Harlem that night. And who shall we try for this shaven head now in the courts of heart, Martha? where the murder is televised over and over with residuals. They have caught the man who shot Robert Kennedy. He was another predictor of difficult journeys. Now he has a bullet in his brain, Martha, and much less chance than you. On the first day of July, you warn me again. The threads are forever broken as you darken into explosive angers and refuse to open your eyes, humming interference. But your thoughts are not over with, Martha. They are you. And their task is to remember, Martha. And we can help with the other mechanics of blood and bone. But you cut through the pain of my words to warn me again. Testing, 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 whoever passes must tear out their hearing aids for the duration. And onward, and I hear you explaining, Neil. My husband, whoever must give me a present, he has to give me himself where I can find him. For where can he look at himself in the mirror I am making? Or over my bed where the window is locked into battle with a wall. And I sit in New Jersey with lightning bugs and mosquitoes, typing and thinking of you. Last night you started seizures, which they say is a temporary relapse. But this lake is far away, Martha, where I sit unquiet in New Jersey thinking of you. I Ching, the Book of Changes, says I am impertinent to ask of you obliquely, but I have no direct question, only need. When I threw the coins today, it spoke of the abysmal again, which of all the hexagrams is very difficult, but very promising. In it, water finds its own level, flowing out from the lowest point, and I cast another one also, that cautioned the superior man to seek his strength only in its own season. Martha, what did we learn from our brief summer when the brown swallows sang in my walls? One and one is too late now, you journey through darkness alone. Leafless I sit far from my own house, and the grackles' voices are dying. We shall love each other here, if ever at all. Part 2. Yes, foolish prejudice lies. I hear you, Martha, that you would never harm my children, that you have forgotten their names, that you are Elizabeth's godmother. And you offer me coral rings, watches, even your body, if I will help you sneak home. No, Martha, my blood is not muddy. My hands are not dirty to touch. Martha, I do not know your night nurse's name, even though she is black. Yes, I did live in Brighton Beach once, which is almost Rockaway, one bitter winter. But no, not with your night nurse, Martha. And yes, Martha, I agree, this is one hell of a summer. No, you cannot walk yet, Martha, and no, the medicine you are given to quiet your horrors has not affected your brain. Yes, it is very hard for you to think, but it is getting easier. And yes, Martha, we have loved each other before, and yes, I hope we still can. But no, Martha, I do not know if we shall ever sleep in each other's arms again. Part 3. It is the middle of August, and you are coming alive to discomfort. You have been moved into a utility room across the hall from the critical ward because your screaming disturbs the other patients. Your bedside table has been moved also, which means you will be there for a while. A favorite now with the floor nurses, who put up a sign on the utility door that reads, "I am Martha here. Do not forget me. Please knock." There's a golden attendant named Suki who bathes you as you proposition her. She is gentle and very pretty. The frontal lobe of the brain governs inhibitions. The damage is slight, after all. They say the screaming will pass. Your daughter Dory promises you will be as good as new, Mama, who only wants to be bad as the old. I want some truth, good, hard truth, the sign of youth. We were all young once. We had a good thing going. Now I'm making a plan for a dead rabbit, a rear rabbit. I'm dying, goddammit, dying. Am I dying? And death is a word you can say now. Pain is mortal. I am dying, dying. For God's sake, won't somebody please get me a doctor, please? And your screams beat against my face as you yell, begging relief from the blank cruelty of 1,000 nurses. A moment of silence breaks as you pause to accumulate fresh sorrows. Then, through your pain-fired face, you slip me a wink. Martha winked. Your face straightens out today into impatience with the loads of shit you are handed. You're doing just fine, Martha. What time is it, Martha? What did you have for dinner tonight, Martha? Testing, testing, whoever passes for Martha, and you are wary of it. All the people you would like to straighten out pass your bedside in the utility room, bringing you homemade cookies and hoping you will be kinder than they were. Go away, Mama and Booby. For 30 years you made me believe I was shit you shat out for the asking, but I'm not. And you'd better believe it. Right now, would you kindly stop rubbing my legs and get the hell out of here? Next week they will return with an offering of Tegla. And will you be kinder, Martha, than we were to the shell, the cocoon, out of which the you is emerging? Part 4. No one you were can come so close to death without dying into another, Martha. I mourn you as we all await her, fearing. We can neither love nor dismiss Martha with the dross burned away, fearing a condemnation from the essential. You cannot get closer to death than this, Martha, the nearest you have come to living yourself. The Maiden. Once I was immortal beside an ocean, having the names of night, and the first men came with sledges of fire driving the sun. I was brought forth in the moon pit of a virgin, condemned to light, to a dry world's endless mornings sweeping the moon away. And whenever I fled, seeking a new road home, the morning had harrowed the endless rivers to nest in the dried-out bed of my mother sea. Time drove the moon down to crescent, and they found me, mortal, beside a moon's crater, mouthing the ocean names of night.
Wow. That reminds me of Dylan Thomas for some reason, too. I think I'm on a Dylan Thomas kick tonight.
Well, I'll give you another kick to be on.
Okay? Okay.
You talk about love. Jam today and jam tomorrow?
Okay.
Love poem. Speak, earth, and bless me with what is richest. Make sky flow honey out of my hips, rigid as mountains spread over a valley carved out by the mouth of rain. And I knew when I entered her I was high wind in her forest's hollows, fingers whispering sound. Honey flowed from the split cups, impaled on a lance of tongues, on the tips of her breasts, on her navel, and my breath howling into her entrances through lungs of pain. Greedy as herring gulls or a child, I swing out over the earth, over and over again.
Oh, wow. And here I am out in Staten Island. And she's all the way over on 87th Street in Manhattan.
I don't have anything to follow that for a while.
Well, then I think we should have a break and I want more sherry.
Okay.
I want to know what happened to that other Martha that you wrote about in that poem.
Well, first they said Martha would die, and she didn't die, and then they said she'd be a vegetable for the rest of her life, you know. And they told Neil, who was her husband, that he should put her in a hospital and forget about her. Like, Neil wasn't willing to do it, and none of us who loved Martha were willing to do it. And what was most important of all, Martha wasn't about to be put in any hospital forever. And it's 3 years later, and Martha is up on her crutches and working for the Department of Welfare. Nobody knows how she did it and how she's doing it, but she is. As I said before, she's a very different Martha. She's a very different person, and there's brain damage. She's had lasting brain damage. Far less, though, than anyone thought possible. Far less. And Martha's making it. She's making the Martha that she wants. That's what happened to that Martha.
Well, maybe not jam tomorrow, but maybe a different flavor.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say before. You know, there are pieces of you that you have to relinquish all the time. There are pieces of you that you believe are the most important or the most real that you find dead one day, and you look at it and realize that it was only maybe a dream, like part of the dream that I had about Martha, part of the dream she had about herself. That's why I say that poem in so many ways is a story of our relationship too, you know, and that we could peel the layers of the onion away until we come to a nugget, a core. And what the core says is, well, all right, goddammit, you know, all of your problems, all of your lacks, all of your pettinesses, all of my pettinesses, what really lasts is you're human, I love you, you're going to make it, and I'm glad.
There ain't much more.
Mm-hmm.
Read me another one. I like it. I like it.
The wild trees have bought me and will sell you a wind in the forest of falsehoods where your search must not end, for their roots are not real. Strip our loving of dream, pay its secrets to thunder, and ransom me home. Beware oaks and laughter, no hemlock is lying when it sings of defiance. The sand word she is saying will sift over and bury you, while the pale moons I hate seduce you in phases through oceans of light. And the wild trees shall sell me for their safety from lightning to the sand that will flay me for their next evening's planting. They will fill my limp skin with wild dreams from their root, and grow from my flesh new handfuls of hate, until our ransom is wasted and the morning speaks out in a thin voice of wisdom that loves me too late.
Say, is there any way I can get these poems printed? You know, like, do you have any book out?
Well, some of them are in my first book, which is The First Cities. It was published by Poets Press in 1968, and it's practically unobtainable now. I hope it'll someday be in a second printing. The Martha poem and a number of the others can be found in my second book, which is Cables to Rage, and that was published by Paul Brayman in London in 1970, and that's still around here and there.
I guess then our listeners can go out and see if they can find them or maybe make requests of this Poets Press, you call it?
Poets Press and Paul Brayman. Mm.
To get, you know, like second editions printed.
The second book, Cables to Rage, is handled by Dudley Randall of Broadside Press out in Detroit.
Mm. Okay, now we're going to put a poem in our pipes and smoke it.
Now, this one is about me, honey. My favorite lover, all right? It's called Generation Two. A black girl going into the woman her mother desired and prayed for walks alone and afraid of both of their angers. Good night.
Okay, gang, good night. This is Lesbian Nation, and we'll see you all next week at the same time. Thank you.